But I can tell you this right now. It's not some creed. It's not some religion. It's not some argument. It's not something that brought me out of my sin, because I loved my sin. You understand? I loved my sin, and I loved the plans that I had for my life. The modeling career, the movies, going to Hollywood. I was going to be rich and famous. It wasn't some religion, empty, dead religion that came along that brought me out of it. Folks, let me tell you something right now. We need to be praying. We need to be praying. We need to be praying for people who are atheists, who are agnostics. I got a letter from Europe, from Denmark. I'm going to read some of it to you. You may be seated this morning. I got a lot to share with you. Let me say this for our church, just a couple of announcements real quick, that this, things the Lord has laid on my heart, this next year, 2023, is going to be Fire and Grace Church, Fire and Grace School of Ministry. It's going to be our year of evangelism and outreach. We're about to hit the streets, all right, and the university, and it's going to be good. I've done it before. I do it when the Lord tells me, but it's going to be all out. But before that, Wednesday night, we're praying here, and I want to say this. If you can come to Wednesday night prayer, please come. It's important. It ain't about feelings. Sometimes there's you can feel the presence of God. Sometimes you can't. You got to, you know, prayers work sometimes. It's faith. It's not sight or feelings. But in prayer this past Wednesday night, the Lord laid on my heart that we're going to call a church fast from Thanksgiving after Thanksgiving to Christmas. All right? Now, what that means is you pray and whatever the Lord wants you to do during that time, if it's a day or two here and there, if it's 3 days, if it's 4 days, 5 days, whatever the Lord leads you to do, but we just want to cover that about that month right there, all right? And there's been a lot of spiritual warfare. The devil and the demons have been on the rise. I've been attacked every which way you can be. So we need a season of fasting and prayer before we go into this evangelism season. And the Lord's already shown me some things. I'm going to do a full biblical creation, biblical cosmology, flat earth presentation at Auburn University. We're going to go out. I used to go out and open air preach at Auburn University. Actually, I was with a ministry that traveled all over the country and preached at different colleges. I've preached at Harvard and Boston College and William & Mary. And I used to travel around and preach at different college campuses, open air. I'll tell you one time at Auburn in January, in Auburn back in the 90s, we had like 300 or 400 students out there that wouldn't quit listening to us for hours in the drizzling cold rain. And when the campus police came to tell us to go, you know, that we couldn't do it, even though we were exercising our free speech on a public campus, what was funny is that all the students that were unbelievers, and some of them atheists and agnostics, it was hilarious. They were arguing with us and, you know, heckling us and fighting us for hours. But when the police came to lead us off, they were like, "We want the preacher. We want the preacher." It was great. And we're going to do some of that stuff. But we're going to hit our communities here, and then we'll go over into Montgomery and help y'all do the same thing. Matter of fact, during that time period back in the 90s and mid-90s, early and mid-90s, I was going back and forth between here and Montgomery doing evangelism. So we're going to do that. But let me read this to you. This is, you can put his channel up. This guy is in Denmark. I'm not sure, I mean, I know him through the internet, of course. I don't know how to pronounce his name exactly, so if I get it wrong, but it's Soren, I think it is. I'm not going to try his last name. But he started Dean Odle Ministries Europe YouTube page because Europe was before they shut me down. YouTube terminated my channel here in the United States. Europe, countries in Europe were already censoring almost all of my videos in some way. So what he did was he went in and did his best to edit out the things that would get them censored to the best of his ability so that Europe could still get it. But so he's got, he puts them up, and he's had like already like 84,000 views on that in Europe. But he's in Denmark, and I want to read this. He said, he sent me this letter the other day, and where's the, did we bring it? Let's throw the, put the patch up here. He was listening the other day. He sent me, he was in the military in Denmark, and he said he remembered they had a patch, sheepdog patch. And he said, I remember you referring to yourself as not the shepherd, but the sheepdog. And so he sent me this patch, so I'll be putting it on a jacket I have here pretty soon. But he's a neat guy. But listen to this. I want to read this to you. He says, Dear Pastor Gene, first let me thank Jesus Christ in heaven for leading me to your ministry, one of the only no-nonsense, nothing-but-the-truth ministries I know of who preach the whole counsel of God, not just the pleasant parts. From creation to revelation and all in between, God bless you for that. In Denmark, it is impossible to find anything close. Denmark has been more or less overrun by Word of Faith, Prosperity, NRA, theology, and the state church is pretty much Catholicism light and ecumenical. However, more and more individuals are waking up, but fellowship with like-minded Bible-believing Christians is still a challenge. He says, so my wife and I consider ourselves as part of your extended church family. We have learned so much and are still learning. Many times it is like you have spoken directly into our situation, not only with encouragement and wisdom, but also correction. Your direct and no fear approach is very inspiring. Thank you and thank God, and to him be all glory and honor. Amen. Then he talks about the sheepdog patch. He said, and he gave a little bit of his testimony, and I want to read this. He said, as long as I can remember, I have been completely brainwashed and indoctrinated. Like all my friends and family, my childhood was filled with bullying in school, various stepdads, one being a raging alcoholic who beat my mom and my sister and I. I have been a soldier in the Danish Army, and I am a non-combat veteran. I have never felt like I fit anywhere in the world. Has always seemed off to me. And he goes on how he has been sick for long periods of time with stress and anxiety and PTSD. He said, short story, it was the truth about creation that God used to shatter my atheism. He was an atheist. So it was the truth about creation that God used to shatter my atheism back in 2015, 2016. While on sick leave, my only relief and escape of reality for years was computer games and drugs, weed, he says. He said, I didn't watch TV, so all I watched was my computer, YouTube, Netflix. And he said, one day a conspiracy video about the JFK assassination popped up in my recommended videos list. I found it interesting and started watching, which was the beginning of my trip down the rabbit hole. And now I believe that this trip was planned and started by God because I was pulled through almost every big conspiracy there was, from the JFK assassination to 9/11, Freemasonry to the moon landing, and finally, Flat Earth. Because God wanted to open my eyes to the fact that the world as I knew it was a big lie. And he thereby destroyed my faith in the world system. I was, however, still an atheist until Flat Earth. But that revelation shattered that stronghold in me, as well as my eyes and my heart were open to the possibility of a creator. The only question was, which one of a thousands of gods was the one? And then he said, so he found videos, and God led him to begin to read the Bible and research Christianity, biblical cosmology, and then he had a powerful experience with Jesus, and then after that, a powerful experience of being delivered from the demonic strongholds in his life. This is why I preach Genesis to Revelation, folks. See, you don't know what somebody needs. Somebody would tell me, I've been told over the years so many times, people think they know what I ought to preach or what I ought not to preach. And I tell them, I learned a long time ago that we don't really know what truth it will take to bring a certain person to at least begin to investigate, to have an open heart, open mind, to begin looking into the truth. So that's why I will cover everything from Genesis to Revelation about life, about what God says, because I know that God, it may, you might not need it. You might not need the truth about creation, but somebody like Soren does, you see? And also, this is where I'm going with this. You know, this is what we need to get prepared as a church. You know, the Bible talks about being ready to give an answer to every man of the reason of the hope that is in you. That means when you encounter an atheist, an agnostic, someone addicted to drugs or porn or whatever, you need to have the word, the answer for them as best you can. And some people are going to receive it, and Jesus is going to be revealed to them, and they're going to get saved, and some people are going to resist it and not. Listen, if they resisted Jesus, did Jesus win everybody over? No, because if he had, they wouldn't have crucified him, right? He didn't win everybody over. So if the perfect man, sinless man, God in the flesh, who taught perfectly, walked in love perfectly, did everything perfect, didn't win everybody, you're not going to win everybody, I'm not going to win everybody, all right? But that's not, we don't sit back and go, well, I don't know if I'm good enough, or I don't know if I can do this, or if I know enough, or whatever, blah, 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 blah. I led people to Jesus when I was brand new, returned to the Lord when I was 19 years old. I didn't know even a tenth of what I know now. But you can be a powerful witness for the Lord to all these people. But you need to do what you can do to prepare yourself. Prayer, fasting, study the word, get it in you, and some answers. That's why in the School of Ministry we have a whole apologetics class about this. But I want to shift gears now. I want to share all that with you so you know where, as a church, where we're going in the next few months and in this next year. All right? And I will be doing another series on biblical creation and biblical cosmology because we need it. You know, we don't preach salvation once. We don't preach the baptism of the Holy Spirit once. We don't preach on healing once, you know. And I'm going to go through another series of that. I do feel like, too, the Lord wants me to do my own study Bible on the subject. We're going to call it the Dome Study Bible, Dean Odom Ministries Edition, right? Dome. So we're going to do that and cover everything from not just creation, but all the way through, deal with eternal security and Calvinism and all the errors that's in the church world, and then get into end time Bible prophecy. Because all of it, you know, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And sometimes the churches out here that are empty, dead, and dying, or they're just, you know, social clubs, one of the reasons, it's not so much that they teach, some of them don't teach like overt error, it's just they leave out so much that you need. You know, it's kind of like feeding you food that has no nutrients in it or no vitamins. You understand? It's like you're getting something, but you're not getting what you need to survive. Now, I want you to turn with me. We're going to talk about something today about the mind. And I want you to go to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 4, of course. We're going to start reading at verse 1. Because I'm going to tell you, I sense something funny going on. See, there's times I come to church, like last Sunday I came to church, and in the spirit realm I sense some weirdness going on. The devil was working. And when the devil's working, I know he's working on people's minds, right? And we've got to, as Christians too, we've got to understand that the devil, demons, spirits, Satan himself, the fallen angels that are loosed, and the demon spirits are constantly putting thoughts into your mind that are not true. You understand? And you say, well, I'm a Christian now. Yep. So you're a big fat target. All right? But the problem is that as Christians, we're supposed to recognize. But the devil's slick. And he puts thoughts into your minds all the time that you believe are your thoughts. And this is the problem. This causes division in church, strife in marriages, church family. And it could just be nonsense. I just feel like I'm not part of the group. Wait a minute, who told you that? I know somebody, the devil told somebody that in our church recently, and I thought, we go downstairs to fellowship every Sunday, and I go down there and try to sit with different people and talk to everybody. How many of y'all know the celebrity pastors don't do that? But the devil comes and puts these thoughts in your head. Or, you know, Pastor Dean didn't talk to me today. Or he didn't call me. Or he didn't text me. He don't, you know, they don't care. You get what I'm saying? Or he's too busy. Oh, listen, some of you don't call me when you need to because he's too busy. Stop it already. Call me if you need to. Text me if you need to. You get what I'm saying? But what I'm saying is we get these thoughts in our heads. And they don't come from they don't come from reality. You know, there's a lot of women out there. Women and men are different. I know the world doesn't think so, but they're different. And you women, sometimes you can have a man that loves you, is committed to you, is faithful to you, provides for you, and also you get the thoughts in your head because he might be gruff or he's having a bad moment, and he don't love me. He don't love me. And you're like, the man comes home every night. He works hard. He provides for you. He's there. He's not cheating on you. You know what I'm saying? It's not based in reality. But if you let that thought stay there, what does it do? It begins to affect your heart toward that person. This happens in church. This happens in marriages. And we as Christians, we got to be smarter than this. See, let me tell you what offense is. Offense, a lot of offenses are getting some idea in your head that's not even based in reality or truth. There may be some truth to it, but it's blown up out of proportion. And there's a lot of people that leave churches that they're supposed to be in because of stupid little things like this. And we don't recognize it's the devil putting them in there. But let's read this first. I got several scriptures I want to read this morning. Now, this is pertaining to the unsaved, but the principle is showing here the devil works in the minds. That's the primary battlefield. So let's read this, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, little g, the devil, Satan, the serpent, the dragon, he has many names, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. And he says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, let's just back up. What he says here, if our gospel's hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So everybody who is an unbeliever, who is agnostic, atheist, or just like, I don't know, you know, I don't believe because I want to do my own thing. I'm just not going to follow Jesus. All of that, the Bible says here, what it's telling you is that Satan and his forces, the demon spirits, the principalities and powers of darkness of this world, literally have blinded their minds. But how does he blind their minds? He puts in a lie. He always puts in a lie. And he puts that in the mind, and he'll put it in the mind over and over and over and over again until they cannot see. Like, I'm going to tell you, like, here's what, you want to know one of the ways the world blinds people's minds right now? It's called NASA. Because if y'all are looking at any of these pictures of Artemis, I'm like, who's taking the photographs of Artemis flying by the moon? I mean, it's the same deception over and over again. It was interesting. The people have posted pictures. The moon's over here, and Artemis is going this way. Hey, the moon's up there. That's where you're going. But this whole charade we're going to have is just going to blind people's minds even further. Artemis, the twin sister of Apollo. The first deception was Apollo. Well, let's go back. Mercury, Gemini. And I sit back and go, these servants of Satan keep blinding people's minds. And then there's people, of course, the people that just, you know, the unbelievers that don't believe in the devil. Let's put up some of our pictures. Let me say, you if you're an atheist or agnostic and you don't believe in the devil, let me tell you who does. All these people. See, this is the symbol for 666. This is the one eye, Illuminati symbolism they do. Oh, somebody's going to take a picture of me doing this now, right? Here we go. But here they are. Look at them. This is all your famous people. Now, this is the devil. This is the 666, the devil. They're telling you. They sold their soul. Many of them will tell you outright. They sold their soul to the devil to get their fame and fortune. Show Eminem there, the Eminem picture. I mean, now you may not believe in the devil, but he does. Got a new gospel song. Oh, Lord, help us. Let's throw up some of the others. Here's Buzz Aldrin. 33rd degree Freemason, liar about the moon landing, and here he is letting you know he's in the club. What club is that? The Satanist club. 33rd degree Freemasons are fully understanding that they are worshiping Lucifer, the devil, Satan. And that they are operating in the powers of Lucifer. This is from Morals and Dogma by Albert Pike, who wrote all the modern rituals for Freemasonry. He was a Confederate general. Buzz Aldrin, all your top astronauts, Freemasons, 33rd degree Freemasons. This is why I know I can't trust Alex Jones about everything. Because Alex Jones has his buddy Buzz here. And Alex will repeat the NASA nonsense. Folks, let me just say this as Christians. Y'all, I'm just going to be real today. Your Bible says God created the heavens and the earth, right? On the fourth day in Genesis, he creates the sun and the moon and the stars. Their whole system says that the sun and the stars came first and then the earth. So even if you don't believe it's flat, which we can prove with high-zoom cameras and telescopes and lasers, even if you don't believe that, even if you don't believe the evidence, I can take you to Mobile Bay. Matter of fact, let's go in February. We'll go in February and do another test that anybody that hadn't seen the evidence can go see it. We'll do another test. But the earth is just like God said. That's why, let me tell you, this letter right here, from an atheist, I have a whole chapter in my book, Like Clay Under the Seal, of atheists and agnostics who have come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, been born again, dramatically delivered from demons because they found out the truth. They saw the evidence that the earth is flat, that it is not moving, spinning, flying, that none of that makes any sense. But again, think about the elaborate deceptions all involved in that to blind the minds of people from believing in the God of the Bible who created the heavens and the earth. People say, why would they lie? To keep you away from this and from Jesus. It is a blinding of the mind. And there's a real devil. People just don't understand. The stuff I have seen the devil do. I was in Texas one time. Demon, I'm sitting at a table in this guy's apartment. He had like a little dining room area that went into a living room area, about where you guys are sitting over there. That's about how long the room was. He's sitting in the chair, face contorts and chains. Demons, different voices start speaking through him. I rebuke the demons in Jesus' name. And the dude, nobody's around him. Me and another pastor sitting across the table from him. Unseen forces pick him up in the air, levitate him, and throw him back as far as you guys are and hit a wall back there. Folks, the devil is real. Jesus is real. The Bible is true. There's a heaven. There is a hell. God made this place just the way he said he made it. And you know, people say, I don't believe the Bible. Well, let me tell you, there's no other book in the history of mankind that's given thousands of prophecies, sometimes hundreds of years or thousands of years before they would come to pass, that we can prove they were written down before the prophecy came to pass. I mean, the Quran doesn't do that. The Hindu Vedas doesn't do that. Only the Holy Bible does that. I mean, the prophecy in Psalm 22 alone, Jesus, it said about Jesus, he would say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? They will pierce my hands and feet. They will cast lots for my garments. 1,000 years before it happened. No other book. Do you know that there's no prophecies of Muhammad coming thousands of years before he came? Only Jesus. And people tell me they don't believe. I'm like, what? But again, I know it's because Satan and demon spirits are blinding their minds. There's another reason, too. Let me say this. There's another reason, too, why people refuse to believe. Go to John. Let me show you. John chapter 3 real quick. Y'all go ahead, pardon me. We may be here a while this morning. But there's food downstairs, so you don't even have to go get it. John chapter 3. All right, we're going to go to verse 19. This is the condemnation that light is coming to the world. Jesus is the light of the world. And that men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Can somebody say, there are people who refuse to believe no matter how much evidence you give them. No matter how much evidence, historical, archaeological, mathematical, even visual proof. I've had people stand beside me, look through the camera lens, and see what you're not supposed to see 10 miles away. But there are people who refuse to accept the truth because they love their sin. Oh, let's read it again. And this is the condemnation that light is coming to the world, that men loved darkness, evil, sin, wickedness. That's what that darkness means. Rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light. Neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or made manifest or exposed. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. So basically, he's letting you know here, a lot of people don't come because they hate the light. Why do they hate the light? Because they love the darkness. They love their sexual immorality, their pornography. They love to be homosexual or pedophiles. They love it. They love to steal. They love to lie. They love to cheat. They love it. They rejoice in it. So they hate the light. And so what, any wonder when somebody like me or you comes along and says, hey, you know God hates that sin right there. That's sin. That's wickedness. That's evil. That's darkness right there that you're practicing, that you're living in. Well, what's the first response? I don't want to hear that. Who are you? Don't judge me. I'm not judging you. You know what judge means? Sentence you. I'm not sentencing you to anything. I'm not condemning you. You know what the word condemn means? You tell somebody that you have no hope. You are condemned. No. The Christian says, yes, you have sin and wickedness in your life, but there's a way out. That's what we were singing about a minute ago. The blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross, the atonement that he made, becoming the sacrifice for sin, shedding his blood to wash away sin. You can say, oh, that just sounds all religious and theological. Yeah, until you experience it. See, if anybody thinks they come along and talk me out of it, they're too late. You like trying to talk me out of having a ribeye steak. It's too late. I already had one. I like it. I'm not philosophizing about a ribeye steak I might have in heaven one day. I've had some already, and that's the way I am with Jesus. I know him. I walk with him. I've experienced him. I've experienced the blood of Jesus washing my sins away. I've had demons come out of me and leave me. I've been healed miraculously in my body. I've seen his miracles and his power. I've seen people manifest being demon-possessed and getting set free from those demons. I've seen everything from the crippled walk, the blind see, the deaf hear. Cancer disappear instantly in the name of Jesus. Woman dying in the hospital room, bleeding out her ears and her eyes. Doctor says she's got hours, maybe a day or two. Praying for her outside, couldn't go in to the intensive care. It was so bad. They didn't want us to see it. And praying out there, praying, Lord, we pray that she would live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. She later told us, while she's unconscious, laying in the hospital room, that four angels were standing around her room. And one of them leaned over and said, you will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. And she was instantly healed in the name of Jesus. And it started, went home and started testifying. Jesus is real. He is God Almighty. He is the creator of everything we see. He's the creator of heaven and earth. He is the only Savior, the only one to deal with your sin that can get rid of it. He's the only one that can give you eternal life. And folks, let me tell you right now, if the only hope that you have is in this world, in this physical life you have right now, if you don't have hope beyond this, Paul said you are of all men most miserable. Why? Let me tell you right now, some of you are young and hadn't figured out yet. By the time you get to my age, I'm about to turn 55, you know the body is starting to quit. It is on the downward turn. I want a new one. And some of you are the older, really know. Think about that, if this is all there is. Come on. You're going to try to tell me this is all there is? We got to live through this evil, dark, twisted, wicked world, get old, start suffering, and then die, and that's it. Come on. You've been deceived, blinded by the devil in your mind, if you believe that nonsense. See, what the reason a lot of people, though, and some younger people believe this, is because they don't want to give up the sin. They love it. They love it, love it, love it. And they don't want to be held accountable. They don't want to understand that they're going to stand before God as judge one day and give an account for their sins, for everything they did and said and thought. See, that's unpleasant. But that's what the Bible calls the fear of the Lord. That's why the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's when we realize I'm going to give an account for how I have lived. Paul said that's going to be a day of fear and trembling. Blinded their minds. But now let's talk about believers. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Because you can be a believer and start getting your mind corrupted. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good now. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's just read this right here. Paul's talking to Christians, the Corinthian Christians. He said, "Would to God that you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that is, I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your what? Minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which we have not received, or another gospel which we have not accepted, you might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles." Paul has to go on because they're attacking him. I love it. He says, "But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things." Boy, I tell you what, I get that one all the time. He's rude. He's too harsh. He says, "I fear you Christians." Now, this is a church Paul founded, meaning he did the evangelism to win the first believers. And he started a church, and it grew, and the church of Corinth became a flourishing, big, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, Holy Ghost. He said that he told them they come behind in no gift. All the gifts of the Spirit were at work in the Corinthian church. But so was fornication and idolatry, strife and division, attacking Paul, saying Paul wasn't even an apostle. And he even had to tell him, he said, "Look, if I'm not an apostle anywhere else, I'm am to you for sure." But where do you think all that stuff going on in the church there at Corinth, where all that was coming from that was being put in their minds? Satan, demons, spirits. Everything that goes wrong starts by a thought in your mind. And once the thought, if you let the thought stay there and meditate on it and expand it, then that thought will drop down from here into here. Because your heart and mind are connected. The word cardia, let's put that up. This is the word, when you see the word heart, we're going to go to another verse here in a minute in John 13. But when you see this word heart here, notice this word is translated, it's cardia, denotes the center of all physical and spiritual life, vigor and sense of physical life, the center and seat of spiritual life, the soul or the mind. It is the fountain or seat of the thoughts. Do you see that? So when you see this word, Satan has put it into the heart. We're going to get to that in a second. But you're a spirit, soul, and body. Let me just explain that to you. Paul said you have a spirit and a soul and a body. These have different words, pneuma, psyche, right? They're different Greek words because they're different things. But where they all come together is right here. In your heart, your spirit, your soul, everything comes together here. And this is where the decisions are made because your heart can be carnal. You can give into the carnal mind. Or you can listen to the Holy Spirit and do what the Spirit wants you to do. But it all comes together right here. All right? Now, he says to Christians, your minds could be corrupted. Right? So this is not, somebody say, this is not Pastor Dean making this up. He said, "I fear lest your minds be corrupted by" who? "The serpent." Like Eve's mind was. Say, my mind can be corrupted. Doesn't have to be. Can be. I want to show you something. Let's go to John 13. And get to this is the main verse the Lord spoke to me as he directed me onto this message. It just kept ringing out. just want to see where I want to read here from. Yeah, here we go. Verse 1. Y'all got John 13? Now, before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Who put it into Judas's heart? See, I believe it had already been in his mind. Just his mind. See, the old preachers used to say this. Said, you can't help what bird flies over your head, but you can sure stop one from building a nest on your head, right? And the difference is here, all of us are going to have thoughts. The devil's going to fly all kind of ideas and thoughts at us. The question is what we can do with them. But again, if we let them stay there, and this is what I'm talking about in church. Well, Pastor Dean didn't shake my hand today. I don't like the color of the carpet. I can't stand to look at that wood background anymore. It's fake wood, by the way. But these, again, this is how they come in. He doesn't love me anymore. He doesn't love me. He doesn't love me. Maybe I ought to start finding, maybe I ought to find a man that does. This is where it starts. Man, it drops down into your heart. Here's another thing that people do. Is there's other folks that get offended and get... The devil puts a thought in their head, and they let it in the heart, and they embrace it, and they let offense turn into bitterness. And then notice what it says. He said, beware lest any root of bitterness spring up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, Hebrews chapter 12 says. What's he talking about is there are people who have listened to the devil, become offended, bitter. But the problem is then you start listening to them, and you take up their offense. Oh. Can I tell you, listening and taking up somebody else's offense when they've listened to the devil is just listening to the devil secondhand. And people do it all the time. Getting offended will cause you to get out of the will of God. I can tell you right now, because it begins to blind your heart and your mind. And then the things you think you hear from God will not be from God. And then the devil will always send somebody along to tell you what you want to hear, to reaffirm what he's been putting in your head. This is why it's so important to understand casting down imaginations. Judas, everybody thinks Judas was just this wicked person from the get-go. I think Judas was clearly, passionate. I think he was dedicated. He was willing to leave everything and follow Jesus for 3 years. The Bible says he received the anointing from Jesus. He went out and healed the sick and cast out demons. But let me tell you where God, Satan put in his mind. Yeah, he believed Jesus was the Messiah. He wouldn't have followed him for 3 years if he didn't. But he put in his mind, you know what? I'm going to help Jesus. I'm going to motivate him to get rid of the Romans. So he's not doing it fast enough. Lord, it's been 3 years. We know he's the king. He's raised the dead. He heals the sick. He's the one. He can call the 12 legions of angels. Let's do this thing. Well, Jesus wasn't doing it. Can you hear Satan in his ear? What's he waiting on? We need to do this now. The people are oppressed. The people are suffering under the Romans. Jesus should do this. I tell you what, here's what you do. Go betray him, and he'll have to show his power. He'll have to overthrow the Romans. If they're going to take him captive and they're going to crucify him, he'll have to bring the armies of heaven. And you know, the thing about the devil's subtlety is he makes it sound like a good thing. He makes you sound so righteous and good. I imagine Judas felt like he was on a mission to help Jesus get along with it. And the reason I believe that is because when he saw Jesus was not going to call the legions of angels, he threw the 30 pieces of silver down. He wasn't about the money. He wanted Jesus to do it his way in his time, his agenda. But think about that. Here's Judas, a disciple of Jesus, thinking he knows better how things should go. But don't we do that all the time? I deal with it as a pastor all the time. I got all church people that think they know how that I should be doing things. And I'm like, excuse me? How many churches have you pastored? How long have you pastored? Let me tell you, when you start hearing that, Pastor Dean should do this or should do, you best check yourself because that's the devil. You know what you should be doing? If you think I should be doing something, you should be praying about it. Or instead of talking behind my back like some of you have recently, you should come talk to me personally, and let's talk about it. Because let me just go and tell you. I'm just going to go and tell you. Solomon is correct when he said, be careful when you talk about, he said the king, but he's talking about people in authority. He said, because little birds carry it back to them, meaning they always find out somehow. 35 years, I've had the birds come back all the time. I find out, so you might as well come talk to me anyway. And you know what happens if you come talk to me? A lot of times it's a stupid thing or it's a misunderstanding or it's something I need to correct or show you. Or I could show you in 2 seconds why it's not the way you think it is and it'd be over with. But people let these things fester instead of dealing with them. And let me just say this. No pastor, pastor's wife, elders, deacons, no church is going to do everything the way you think it ought to be done. No, not going to happen. I don't care where you go. It's not going to happen. So if you start going down that road, oh, they should do this, they should do that, they should do this, they should do that, you are headed down the wrong road. It's not how to handle that. That is that the devil putting this stuff in your mind. What you should be about is, again, I'm going to pray that God's will would be done. I'm going to fast. I'm going to pray that if we're going the wrong direction, God will show it to all of us, pastor included. Especially if you have pastors that try to hear from God and obey God and try to stick to this. You should be praying instead of talking. Uh-oh. I won't go into details. But I'm okay. I understand. This is nothing new. Lord, it's nothing new. How these little voices come in. And I know who it is. I know teacher told me she had to fight. First, when she first started coming here, them devils were trying to, all kind of stuff. Try to keep her from coming to church, make up stuff in her head about coming to church. She began to recognize, hey, this is not me. I want to go to church. What does he think? Yeah. She would recognize. She'd call Nancy and talk to her about it. Like, yeah. I tell you the truth, I've never seen, even the previous churches I pastored, I've never seen the devil try to keep people from Sunday morning and Wednesday night. I mean, he works overtime to keep people away from church or to interfere. Look, he does it to me. He's been working overtime. Sickness. I mean, I was sick as a dog last night, y'all. I mean, sick. I don't know what it was. I haven't thrown up in years. I threw up everything. I think there was stuff there from like 7 years ago, like like bubble gum. It felt like a kidney and came with it. I mean, I didn't know if I was going to make it today. My wife prays for me, hallelujah. And I fell asleep for about 2 hours. I woke up and I felt fine. Yeah, let me tell you, there's certain things, that everything that I ate yesterday and the day before, well, I won't be eating for a long time. Not for a long time. Last time I ate oysters, I got sick on oysters, and it may 19 years. I don't know if it was the oysters, raw oysters or not, but I'm never eating them again. See, Lord, I repent. I got sick once. I didn't eat them for 19 years. I get sick again. That's it. No more. I won't even be. It's over. Me and oysters are done. We are broken up and divorced now. Oh, no. It's over. Even if it wasn't them, that's it. Oh, this right here, the mind, I'm going to tell you. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, what is it, Proverbs 23:7, yes. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, I want to go to another passage here, one more. And hey, it's not even 12 yet. Can't let y'all at 12. That's against the rules. But 2 Corinthians, go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, I've preached on this many times, y'all, many, many times over the years. Verse 3. So he, actually, and you know, and this is right before he tells them that their minds could be corrupted, that Satan was after them. He tells them here, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. Somebody say every thought. To the obedience of Christ. Let me tell you where you're the most lazy. In your mind. Controlling your mind and your thought life. And this is where you get deceived, and this is where you get misled, and this is where you get blinded, and this is where you get division and strife. Because if you were controlling your thought life, think about this. If you could control your thought life and cast down imaginations and things that are not good, they wouldn't come out of your mouth. See, for instance, I find out things sometimes. And the flesh side of Dean can get upset. And go, I'm going to go deal with this now. And then the Lord will say, you keep your mouth shut and wait. Why? Because I don't need to respond out of the flesh. And then I watch and let it take time sometimes. And then I watch God work it out. And a lot of times I don't have to open my mouth. And boy, I like that the most. I know y'all thinking I'm a preacher. I like talk all the time. I don't. I really don't. But then sometimes if it's not dealt with, there'll be an appropriate time. And you deal with it. But that's because I control my thoughts. Yeah. The emotional side, we all have a flesh side. We all have an emotional side. We all can get our feelings hurt. We all can get, you know, buck up real quick. That's the natural response. But when you wait and say no, you know, the devil can provoke you. Remember that, in fact, that verse, what is it, 1 Samuel 21, I think. I can't remember now, but where Satan provoked David. How do you think he did it? David knew God's word said, don't number the people. David knew that. He was a student of God's word. He meditated on God's word. He knew it. Why do you think it said devil provoked him? How do you think? Did the devil appear to David? No, that wouldn't have worked. No, the devil didn't. It doesn't say he deceived him. Doesn't say that he tricked him. It says he provoked him. And that means he pushed thoughts into his head and so strongly that it would appeal to David's carnal side. It made David do something he knew he wasn't supposed to do. Satan provoked him. Satan stood up against him and provoked David. But that happened in his mind. Satan worked provoking him, putting that thought in his mind. Can I just tell you, I think one of the biggest things that we are going to be shocked about when we get to heaven, or when we are with Jesus and we're finally free, we get the new body, the mortal body puts on the immortal body. We're changed in the moment, the twinkling of an eye, when we fully are married to and have the mind of Christ. We're going to be blown away by how much of our mental activity and time was the devil talking to us and us listening. And let me tell you something. If you listen to him and agree with him, the Bible says if any two of you agree, you will have strife, division, offense, deception. Somebody say amen or oh me. We control our thoughts. Let's read this again. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. Why don't you bring up the devil? Let's bring up this. You know, the definition of the devil. Let me show you something here. The term devil, diabolos in Greek, sounds almost like Spanish. Well, let's look at what it means, diabolos in Greek. This is the term for devil. This is from the scripture where it says the devil put into the heart of Judas to betray him. Look what it says here, prone to slander, slanderous, accusing falsely, false accuser, slanderer. Applied to a man who, by opposing the cause of God, may be said to act at the part of the devil beside him. A traducer. Remember that term, traducer. False. We can't see it because of the line there, but false accuser, slanderer. So the devil primarily, and go ahead and put that definition up of traducer there. Slander. Let me tell you what he does. If the devil's trying to divide you from a church, from a pastor, from a family member, from a spouse, he does what he does in your mind is falsely accuse, slander that person. See, what I said a minute ago, like he does with you ladies. He don't love me. He don't love me. He wouldn't talk to me like that if he loved me. Oh, that's a slander right there. Yeah, maybe he didn't talk to you right. Doesn't mean he doesn't love you. You see what I'm saying? But he puts that slander in there, and that's what it is. Look, to speak badly of or tell lies about someone as to damage their reputation. You see, everything I've said is more like, oh, Pastor Dean didn't shake my hand. That must mean he don't like me. Because that's what's really going on there. Or I'm not in the core group. Let me tell you, we don't have a core group here. I say, well, some of you may think we do, but let me tell you what that means. Well, you want to tell you what a core group is? People that show up for everything. You know what I'm saying? Some people, this is just the way it is. Let's get reality. Some folks you know better than others because you spend more time with them. It ain't about favorites. But then if the devil starts putting you, oh, they got favorites. They got a core group. I ain't in a core group. No. I'm going to tell you right now, this church is the least core group you're ever going to see. All right? But we know, like, for instance, we can't help it. Kelsey's on staff. Jordan pretty much is, works with the church most of the time. There's, you know, Sal is in, and Daniela are helping. Daniela's going to be helping with a cover of Grace Views. What I'm saying is there are people that I work with and have to, I'm around more, but it doesn't mean I don't want you. I love them any more than I love you. You get what I'm saying? And some of you have jobs and you work all the time and I don't get to see you as much. It doesn't mean I don't love you or we don't care about you or we think you're somehow, we got this group up here and this group down here. No. No. This is not high school. Hear what I'm saying. The devil's putting that in your head is to start sowing something bad because you're going to start feeling separated. You see what I'm saying? And there's no reason for that. Guess what? Hang out more if you can. Come around more if you can. But don't think that I'm not praying for all of you all the time the same way. And I'll sit down and have lunch with you or dinner with you or sit down here and talk. I have no favorites. See, there we go. Y'all just don't know. I get in trouble from my preaching all the time at home. So, no. I will be the first to tell you I'm hard to live with. So, you know, Pastor Nancy has grace in her life. She can live with me. Is that what it means? Grace? I forgot. You need it. I just pray this, that we will. I pray for all of you. This will be my prayer. I'm going to be praying for you. That we all begin to catch these things. Yeah, those little things, the little foxes that spoil the vine. These little thoughts that we think are harmless, but the devil's trying to sow strife and division or hurt or anger or frustration or anxiety. And a lot of it, think about this. Think about how much stress these little things cause in our life. And they don't even have to be there. We could cast them down. You hear them? Just cast them down in Jesus' name. So I'm not thinking that way. I don't believe that. That's probably not even true. You know, that's one of the first things. We hear something in our head like that. The first thing you should say, that's probably not even true. That's probably the devil trying to sow this in my mind. And then here's what happens. Let me tell you what happens. If you fast and pray and stay in the Word and get control of your thoughts and start bringing your thought life in obedience to Jesus, what you're going to see is more peace in your life. You hear me? You're going to be more peaceful. See, my wife sometimes, other people think I don't care. It's not that I don't care. It's like I just don't care. And what I mean is, I'm not going to stress out over certain things because I know they're going to work themselves out or the Lord will help me work them out. So I'm not going to stress, freak out immediately. You get what I'm saying? You got it. What do you think? And that's why it says cast your what? Cares upon Him because He cares for you. God, we live in so much anxiety and feeling like people are rejecting us when they're not. They're not. It's just life is happening. Life is happening. Work and school and children and soccer games and, you know, pickleball and campaigns. Life happens. But that's something else I believe. I believe, too, over these next few months and over this next year, as we pray together more, as we fast together more, as we go out witnessing together. I'm going to tell you, you want to build a bond with some folks, go out on the street with them, preaching the gospel. I believe we're going to see our bonds in church grow. And there's going to be changes. We're praying about, do we need another building? Do we need to move? And maybe not right now. I think we don't have everybody here today, but when we have everybody here, it's pretty much full. So we're praying about what to do next. Can't say I know, but I want to ask everybody to be praying about that, what we should do, that we'll know what to do. But the next 2023, 2024, 2025, there's going to be a lot of changes happening in the world. And we need to be as united and not allow the devil to divide us as much as possible in the days ahead, because we're going to need each other. Everything. So let's stand. I want to do, what was the song we did about the blood of Jesus again? What's that? Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, that's perfect. Thank you, Jesus. I felt the anointing on that song this morning. I don't know what it is. I got a mental block on titles of songs now. I can't even remember the title of songs. That's right. But folks, remember this scripture, and it's in the Bible several times. Love covers the multitude of sins. Meaning, love allows you to go, you know what? I'm not gonna take this and blow it out of proportion. I'm not going to run after this at the moment. I'm not going to just go in attack mode, you know, or false accusing mode. I'm going to get control of my thoughts and pray over them and wait and see if it's even true, if it's even something God wants me to do. And that's what I was going to say. As we pray and fast and seek God and start getting more control of our thought life, it makes it easier to know when you're hearing God's voice, too. And then when he speaks, just like, you know, I still got people upset about me that, you know, because I've supported Trump. But let me tell you right now, 2016, I had a word from God about him. So when I have a word from God accompanied by his powerful presence and me in tears on the floor, which doesn't happen every day, I listen to that more than I listen to any other voices. Now, again, does that mean I agree with everything he's done? No. Lord, no. The vaccine was a terrible, terrible thing. But what I'm saying is I know where God wants me on the subject of Donald Trump because I heard his voice about it. And I experienced his presence, and there's no other voices. Because there's plenty of voices everywhere, folks. And that's just an example. There's plenty of voices about everything. There's plenty of voices about me. Lord, I got entire Facebook pages, articles written about me, slandering me, just all kinds of stuff. You could go find all kinds of stuff out if you want to, and you could believe it. Or I could tell you the stories of Butthurt Mel and Bert. I could tell you my side of it. You get what I'm saying? But it's all out on the internet now. It's been out there for years now. I still get people reading the article. He's got ammunition from the bottom of his floor to the top of his closet. I could take it in my closet right now, and it's not so. I said, I'm a Southern boy in Alabama. I wish it was so. Ammunition's expensive. People say, oh, why does he want ammunition? Hey, I don't know about y'all, but if food shortages come, I will be in the woods hunting. And if somebody comes to my house and wants to hurt my wife and daughter, then it becomes a different kind of hunt. But they act like there's something wrong with that. Only a libtard would think something was wrong with it. But you see, what I'm saying is, it's not true. I got one shelf, not from the ceiling to the floor. But it's just crazy stuff like that. I mean, it's just slander and exaggeration. and all kind of stuff. I mean, and for that matter, let me just go and tell you, even if you've been a Christian, let's say you've been a Christian 20 years, and let's say 10 years ago, you just went through a bad season, you fell, you messed up, you sinned, you screwed it up royally. Am I going to look at you like you were 10 years ago? Now? Shouldn't I know where you are now? If you've confessed that sin and all that mess that 10 years ago to the Lord, and you've repented and you've grown from it and you're a different person and you're living for Jesus now, am I supposed to look at you like you were 10 years ago as a Christian? But there are Christians that do that. People will ask me, sometimes they'll come and ask me about a preacher, some online preacher or whatever, some famous person, and I go, if I don't know anything about them, like I may have known something about them 20 years ago, I say, I really don't know where they are now. I haven't kept up with them. I haven't watched them. I haven't listened to them. I haven't read anything from them. So I don't know. That's what you should say instead of going, well, I know 20 years ago they were an adulterer. Well, maybe they were, but maybe they repented. You know, people are still holding Jimmy Swaggart, what he did. That was 30 years ago. And Jimmy Swaggart, most people, he's just an adulterer. No, that man, let me tell you, I was around that man. I was in meetings with him. The anointing of God was so strong on him, every time he'd come in the room and start preaching, tears run down my face. The man led 3 million people to Jesus. Yes, he sinned. You want to know why? He had a demonic stronghold in him from being abused when he was a child, sexually abused, and he never got delivered from that. He got wrong teaching about deliverance for Christians. Yes, Christians can have demons in them, especially if they've been sexually abused when they're young. And they get saved and they never go through deliverance and they stay with those demons. And Jimmy Swaggart used to pray a minimum of 2.5 hours a day, every day. So he figured he needed to tithe his time to the Lord. He read the Bible through every 6 months. Anybody, any of y'all do that? Well, my point is, today I don't look at Jimmy Swaggart as the guy who fell in sin 30 years ago. Actually, it was 35 years ago. I look at him as a man who repented and has got a lot of wisdom and still anointed by God. You see what I'm saying? The devil puts these things on. He's just the devil. A lot of people, look, Kenneth Hagin got off in some areas. Kenneth Hagin got off in some doctrinal areas. He got off in the prosperity thing a little too far. But Kenneth Hagin repented. He repented, wrote a whole book about it. Called in all the prosperity preachers and said, you guys are off base. He rebuked them, corrected them. But nobody knows about that. Nobody knows he wrote a book, The Midas Touch, correcting the whole prosperity extreme movement that went down the road. He wrote a whole book about it. So do we judge him for when he got off base a little bit? Or over 60 full years of ministry? And where he ended as a man? Think about David. We can look at David the same way. David was an adulterer, a murderer. How could he be king? I ain't following anybody like that. You get what I'm saying? We got to start having the mind of Christ and not our own mind or the devil's mind. The devil wants us to have his mind. Now, trust me, he's wanting to put it in there. Remember the days of Noah? Jesus said it'd be like the days of Noah. What was it in the days of Noah? He said, the thoughts of men's heart were evil continually. Nobody controlled their mind. They just listened to the demons and did what they want. So let's thank the Lord for the... Now let me say this. This song, if you were lost and you were saved, you're born again and washed in blood, you know what this is all about. If not, this is what you need right here. I was a wretch. Boy, was I a wretch. I was lost and I was blind. Oh, and let me tell you, I was running out of time. I was almost every weekend I was getting a gun stuck in my face or a knife pulled on. I was running out of time. It was only a matter of time. I thank God he saved me and brought me out of darkness into his marvelous light and washed me clean of my sin and the blood he shed on the cross and then filled me with his Holy Spirit and changed my life. I'm going to tell you why. People say, I know he believes it. Well, let me tell you why I believe it. I believe it because I've experienced it. not because I just chose to believe something. I believe it because it is real. Jesus set me free. Jesus introduced himself to me. Jesus filled me with his spirit. I know his power and his presence. He changed me, or I wouldn't be here today. 35 years of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I couldn't have done anything else in the world. But I know God wanted me to do this. And it's the least I could do for what he did for me. I'm glad that I'm not a drug addict or an alcoholic. Or a fornicator, a whoremonger. I'm glad I am not that anymore. You understand? Sing it. He is eternal life. He is the Prince of Peace. The only place of joy. The only place we can be clean. Lord, I pray you make that real to those who still don't believe, to those who still resist, to those who still love darkness rather than the light. I pray you'll do that, Lord. Anybody in this room that's not born again, that they will come to know you as Lord and Savior. And anybody watching and listening will surrender. That they will believe the gospel that you died for their sins and rose from the dead. That you are the Creator, the one true God, the way, the truth, and the life. They will call upon the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth to be saved. To be washed, to be cleansed of their sins, to be set free from the hopelessness and despair of this world, and that there is more, Lord. You said, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that you have prepared for those who love you. Lord, you have such a wonderful eternity planned. You're going to make a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. We're going to know and see everything. Lord, I pray people will come to acknowledge you, to repent of sin, wickedness, evil, and give you their lives. And we pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we're having our Thanksgiving, church Thanksgiving, downstairs. So I hope everybody's staying today. But if you can't, we understand. But so you don't have to go anywhere today to get anything. You just go downstairs. So why don't we just pray over the food real quick, too, and you can say bye to our friends out there. Lord, we ask you to bless this food today. We are thankful for it, and we're thankful for this time of fellowship and eating together. And we just pray you bless, and I pray those that are traveling, people will be traveling from our church to see a family in different places, that you'll keep everybody safe, put your angels around them as they travel over the Thanksgiving week. And we just, again, we thank you for all your blessings. We even thank you for our country, even with all of its problems. We thank you for our country, our homes, Lord, just our families, all you've blessed us with. And we thank you for it today. And we ask you to bless and sanctify this food. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Let's do it.